E, kaj pa je to?
Ja, kultivator.
Gre za neko vrsto apatije.
To lahko reče samo kreten, noben drug.
Socialni invalid in ga je nemogoče urejati.
Drugi kandidat.
Pa pije, kadi, masturbira, vse kako ni človeka počne. Nihče tega ne ve.
Vsak petek skultiviramo dogodek tedna.
Lahko po kriterijih Radio Študent, težko pa po evropskih kriterijih.
Ampak na drug način, kot vi tu mislite.
Kultivator vedno užgeje.
Da pač nekdo sploh omenja probleme, ki so, in da pravzaprav sploh nekdo sproži dogajanje v družbi.
To drži. Drži.
Pozdravljeni v današnjem Kultivatorju, v katerem bomo govorili o nedavnih protestih v Tanzaniji, ki so se začeli na dan volitev v državi in so se nadaljevali tudi potem po njih. Po poročanju britanskega BBC-a od začetkov protestov umrlo okoli 500 ljudi, predstavniki opozicije pa trdijo, da je žrtev okoli 1000. Vlada je zaradi protestov razglasila policijsko uro in na ulice poslala vojake, ampak so se protesti nadaljevali. Protestniki pa so predsednico Samijo Suluhu Hassan obtožili zatiranja političnih nasprotnikov, spodkopavanja demokracije in pa kršenja človekovih pravic. Hassan je na volitvah nato tudi slavila z več kot 97% glasov in tako začela svoj prvi na volitvah osvojeni mandat. Za analizo volilnega izida in protestnega gibanja je z mano tim iz aktualno politične redakcije.
Ja, živjo. Torej, kot si povedala, so se protesti začeli na dan splošnih volitev, se pravi prejšnjo sredo. In protestniki so se zaradi prepovedi kandidature glavnima dvema opozicijskima kandidatoma v Dar es Salaamu, ki je največje mesto v Tanzaniji, začeli zbirati že zgodaj zjutraj na dan volitev in tako so lokalni mediji že nekak par ur kasneje, se pravi ob 12, poročali, da je bil dostop do interneta že delno omejen, ker je bil to že prvi ukrep vlade. Se pravi, val protestov se je potem hitro razširil in so demonstranti v tem v bistvu v okviru protestov začeli zažigati vladne urade, so zažgali bencinske črpalke, avtobuse in napadali zgradbe ter podjetja, ki so povezani z vladajočo stranko, stranko revolucije, krajše CCM. So pa protestniki napadali tudi nekatere v bistvu zvezdnike in pa pevce, ki so povezani z vladajočo stranko in to recimo velja tudi za enega izmed glavnih pevcev, to je pevc, ki se imenuje Diamond in ta komad, ki ga pa poslušamo, je pa v bistvu eden izmed redkih nekak glasbenikov, ki nasprotuje temu sistemu oziroma pač vladi trenutne predsednice. No in do večera so se protesti razširili po skoraj celi državi, zato je potem vladni predstavnik vse javne uslužbence in pa študente pozval, da ostanejo doma. V nadaljevanju so oblasti še v celoti onemogočile dostop do interneta in razglasile policijsko uro, kar je pomenilo, da vsi oziroma nihče po 6 uri ni več smel zapustiti hiše. No, naslednji dan so se protesti nadaljevali, policija pa je zato, da bi protestnike probala razgnati, uporabila solzivec in pa streljala s pravimi naboji na njih. No in na ta dan je tudi državna volilna komisija tudi razglasila prve neuradne rezultate predsedniških volitev in ti so pokazali, da bo dotedanja predsednica Samija Suluhu Hassan osvojila največ glasov. No, v petek so se potem te protesti umirili, vojska in policija sta v bistvu šli na oziroma zaradi ukaza vlade in pa predsednice na ulje, na patrulje in tako sta tudi vzpostavili, sta vzpostavila oba represivna organa tudi več kontrolnih točk. V soboto zjutraj pa je potem volilna komisija objavila tudi končne rezultate, ki so dejansko potrdili zmago Hassan in predsednica je potem 2 dni kasneje, se pravi v ponedeljek, tudi zaprisegla na vojaškem kompleksu v prestolnici Dodoma in naslednji dan je bila odpravljena policijska ura.
Torej, policija je proti protestnikom streljala tudi s pravimi naboji, različni mediji pa so potem poročali, da je v protestih umrlo več 100 ljudi. Dostop do interneta je bil med protesti onemogočen. Tako da, kakšni so podatki glede teh smrtnih žrtev?
Ja, se pravi, dejansko je ta točna številka glede smrtnih žrtev neznana oziroma se razlikuje glede na to, koga vprašaš. Glavna opozicijska stranka, Stranka za demokracijo in napredek, krajše Čadema, je po dveh dneh protestov sporočila, da je v protestih umrlo okoli 700 ljudi, od tega 350 v Dar es Salaamu in več kot 200 v mestu Mwanza na severu države. Britanski BBC je, se pravi, poročal, da obstajajo kredibilni dokazi, da je med protesti umrlo vsaj 500 ljudi, medtem ko je urad Visokega komisarja Združenih narodov za človekove pravice sporočil, da po njihovih poročilih naj bi umrlo vsaj 10 ljudi. Zdaj, opozicijska stranka je svoje prvotno poročilo oziroma svoje prvotno sporočilo glede 700 smrtnih žrtev spremenilo in je v sredo sporočilo, da naj bi teh smrtnih žrtev zdaj bilo že 1000. No, tanzanijski zunanji minister pa se je na to odzval in za več medijev povedal, da državna oblast nad protestniki ni v bistvu uporabila nobene pretirane sile, ampak da hkrati vlada tudi ne vodi evidence nad o številu mrtvih oziroma nima nobenega pravega podatka, koliko ljudi je zares umrlo. No, Bruce Hellman, ki je predavatelj afriških študij na javni univerzi v Pensilvaniji, ki je pa predtem živel skoraj 20 let in učil na, živel in učil na univerzi v Tanzaniji, pa predstavi potek protestov in pa vladni odziv.
So there's a lot of reports, particularly of targeting CCM officials, celebrities, like their properties, you know, burning them and kind of destroying them. Some of the polling stations were, you know, attacked and the ballot boxes destroyed. And so, and then some of these projects, like the, they had this rapid bus project that it kind of was emblematic of party corruption and government corruption. It didn't work very well. It was a symbol of a lot of frustrations with how the government wasn't working very well. And so these buses got firebombed. So definitely there was, you know, government property associated with the ruling party, associated with particularly, yeah, some of the celebrities that were involved with the campaigns that was being targeted. And it looks like the government really responded with a heavy hand. So, you know, it's been a couple of days since the internet has been switched back on. And so we'll see. I would imagine we're starting to hear cases where people are looking for their loved ones who have gone missing. And then there's reports, right, in the media, particularly BBC came out talking to, you know, some people in the hospitals and mortuaries and about government collecting bodies and taking them to places that are unknown and interviewing people who are trying to track down their loved ones who they haven't been in contact with since election day, and just visiting the various hospitals and mortuaries trying to get word on that.
Ok, na začetku sva omenila, da je bil vzrok za te proteste prepoved kandidature opozicijskim kandidatom. A je to edini razlog ali je bilo še kaj?
Ja, v bistvu je to res sam eden izmed razlogov. Se pravi, glavni opozicijski kandidat desno-sredinske stranke Chadema, to je Tundu Lisu, je bil aretiran in na to en dan kasneje tudi obtožen veleizdaje zaradi kampanje, ki jo je vodil pod sloganom Brez reform, brez volitev. No, nekaj dni kasneje je potem državna volilna komisija stranki Chadema kandidaturo na volitvah tudi prepovedala, ker stranka ni podpisala etičnega kodeksa in zato se je odločila kot neko simbolična gesta sporočilo pač vladni stranki, da ne bo legitimirala njene oblasti, nekaj podobnega. No, potem avgusta je pa še volilna komisija kandidaturo prepovedala tudi Luhagi Mpini, to je kandidat druge največje opozicijske stranke Zavezništvo za spremembe in transparentnost. Stranka Chadema je pred volitvami objavila tudi dokumente, v katerih so popisali domnevne ugrabitve 52 ljudi od začetka oktobra In v tem poročilu opozicija oblastem očita sistematično kampanjo prisilnih ugrabitev političnih figur, verskih voditeljev in pa navadnih državljanov. No, en dan pred objavo tega poročila je policija v regiji Kagera potrdila, da je pridržala 17 članov opozicijskih strank od začetka volilne kampanje, je pa tudi višje sodišče v Bukobi 23. oktobra odločilo, da je v nekaterih primerih šlo za nezakonito pridržanje in odredila takojšno izpustitev petih članov Čedeme. To je, se pravi, nek razlog, kar se tiče same oziroma politične sfere. Poleg tega pa gre tudi za neke globje procese, kot recimo, da 68% ljudi živi v revščini, da se skoraj 3/4 ljudi ukvarja s sivo ekonomijo, do katere pa je bila dosedanja predsednica in tudi po novem izvoljena predsednica v bistvu zelo netolerantna in jim ni stopila nasproti, tako da te dodatne razloge pa pojasni sogovornik.
You know, Tanzania, like neighboring countries, youth unemployment and underemployment is a major problem. So you have a lot of people underemployed in the informal sector, you know, kind of selling things, doing these motorcycle taxis. And a lot of them are, you know, being harassed by local officials. So there's a lot of economic frustration, a lot of poverty, a lot of those kind of economic pressures and just trying to make ends meet. And then you have a president, kind of her family members, in particular her son, really kind of have ostentatious, kind of showy ways about them. So they've, you know, a lot of talk about, particularly the son, accumulating a lot of wealth and showing off these luxury cars and things like that. So that also feeds into it. And then just the run-up to the election, a lot of people were, well, you know, there was a good number of disappearances, people being abducted, particularly opposition party officials and members being abducted. Sometimes, you know, they still don't know where they are, being beaten. And I think this also rubbed people the wrong way. So you had kind of all these frustrations leading up to the elections.
Okay, in zdaj pridemo do volitev. Hasan je na njih slavila skoraj 98% vseh glasov.
Ja, točno tako je. Se pravi, ona je dobila de facto skoraj vse glasove, premagala pri tem 15 drugih kandidatov, ki jim je bila dovoljena kandidatura. Hkrati je bila pa volilna udeležba po podatkih volilne komisije skoraj 87%. No in s tem si je zagotovila svoj prvi na volitvah osvojeni mandat, ker je leta 2021 predsednica postala takrat po smrti njenega predhodnika Johna Magufulija. Do takrat pa je Hasan opravljala funkcijo njegove podpredsednice. No, zdaj volitve niso bile samo predsedniške, ampak splošne, kar pomeni, da so potekale tudi parlamentarne in pa lokalne volitve. Zdaj, mogoče čist samo za začetek za neko ris. Tanzanija je imela vsaj do letošnjih volitev 393 članski parlament. Od tega je bilo 264 poslancev izvoljenih neposredno na volitvah v 264 volilnih okrajih. Te so pa razdeljeni tako, da jih je 222 na celinski Tanzaniji in pa 50 na otočju Zanzibar. No, pred letošnjimi volitvami pa je volilna komisija potem dodala še 8 okrajev na celinski Tanzaniji, zato je bilo v bistvu na voljo 272 mandatov, preostanek pa se razdeli nekako tako, da 113 sedežev je namenjenih ženskam in te sedeži se razdelijo interno po strankah. 5 poslancev izvoli zanzibarski predstavniški dom, 1 poslanec je državni tožilec, 10 pa jih imenuje neposredno predsednica. In rezultati parlamentarnih volitev so v bistvu, vsaj kar se tiče zahodnih medijev, bili malo neznanka. Edini vir, ki sem ga našel glede samih rezultatov, je bil nek kenijski in po podatkih tega medija naj bi vladajoča stranka osvojila 270 od 272 mandatov. No, Heilman pa komentira ta rezultat volitev in pa pove, kaj se je dogajalo na voliščih.
I guess one of the problems is you had this this call for a boycott, and you had a number of kind of the polling stations, their ballot boxes kind of, you know, being destroyed and things like that. And there were a number of election observer missions, one from the AU and one from the South African Development Community, which were reporting low turnouts. So, I mean, even if one was going to accept she was able to get 98% of the vote because there was, you know, no competition really in the elections, the high turnout rate, I think there was a claim that 87% of the registered voters voted, which was the observer missions were very skeptical of that. And I mean, it's interesting, too, because these, you know, AU and the South African Development Community observer missions usually aren't very critical of elections. And they were very critical of this one, very critical that, you know, someone could get 98% of the vote and that you had an 87% turnout. So, yeah, I think these things are very skeptical. And the other thing that's kind of skeptical, too, or raises questions is the swearing in of President Hassan, which was done at a military parade ground, right? Basically at a military base that was controlled. And so it wasn't open to the public. And usually these ceremonies are done, you know, in the national stadium, and a lot of people go to those. So if someone had that amount of support, right, why would you have to do it in such a protected area?
Kdo pa sploh je ona, torej Hassan, in kakšne politike zagovarja?
Se pravi, Hassan je predsednica vladujoče stranke revolucije, ki je na oblasti zdaj po takšnem ali drugačnem imenom že od leta 1961, ko je Tanzanija dobila oziroma si priborila neodvisnost od Velike Britanije. Stranka, kot jo poznamo in kot je zasnovana danes, je nastala leta 1977 za združitvijo takratnih edinih dveh delujočih strank in je bila potem do leta 1992 edina dovoljena stranka v državi. No, po letu 1995, se pravi 3 leta potem, ko so v državi tudi potekale prve večstrankarske volitve, je stranka revolucije slavila na vseh 6 volitvah, ki so bile organizirane po tistem letu. No, Hassan je bila 15 let poslanka v Zanzibarskem predstavniškem domu ali v državnem parlamentu. Opravljala je tudi v bistvu funkcijo sekretarke. Na to pa je leta 2015 postala podpredsednica države, ko je na volitvah zmagal Magufuli. Ta je svoj mandat začel z bojem proti korupciji, ampak je v bistvu temu sledilo neko bistveno zmanjšanje osebnih svoboščin in pa človekovih pravic. No, leta 2020 je ta dvojica v bistvu še enkrat zmagala na volitvah, ampak je eno leto kasneje Magufuli umrl in je Hassan postala predsednica. In zdaj sogovornik pove, da se je po začetku njenega mandata represija malce sprostila, ampak se je to pred temi volitvami spremenilo.
When she came to power, there was kind of a slight opening or relaxation of the crackdown, but then it came down a lot harder, you know, particularly in the run-up to the election. And there was kind of, I mean, there was a continuation of this suppression of opposition from Magufuli to Hassan. But Magufuli was more of kind of a people's populist, and he gave a lot of support to kind of the youth and the informal sector, and kind of sided with them when they were running into problems with local officials and local militias and being taxed and things like that. He kind of upheld their rights to earn a living and to conduct business. And I think that was probably the major change between Hassan and Magufuli. She kind of was much less tolerant of these informal sector activities and much more alienating of kind of the youth and the people involved in that kind of gray economy.
Glede na to, da je kandidatoma glavnih dveh opozicijskih strank volilna komisija prepovedala, da kandidirata, prave zunanje opozicije pač ona ni imela. Kaj pa se dogaja znotraj stranke?
Ja, kot bo pojasnil sogovornik, v bistvu je imela Hasan veliko opozicije znotraj svoje stranke, v kateri deluje veliko frakcij. In predvsem so ji nasprotovali člani frakcije nekdanjega predsednika Magufulija, saj je bila Hasan za predsedniško kandidatko izbrana brez strankarskega tekmovanja.
So CCM was has ruled the country since independence. And then in the 1990s, you had this kind of brief liberalization. And then when Magufuli came to power, right, they really went to undermine the political competition and the opposition. And she's continued with that. But you see, so you don't have opposition outside CCM. So you have a lot of factionalism within CCM. And so she was definitely trying to build and strengthen her foundation within the party and kind of marginalized some of the supporters of Magufuli within CCM. A reason why she was facing opposition within the party, for a lot of strong opposition from kind of the Magufuli faction, was that she was nominated as the CCM presidential candidate without having to go through a party competition. And usually with a sitting president, right, it's kind of pro forma that that person will be endorsed. But there was indications that she was going to get some serious opposition from within the party. And so they kind of dispensed with that and just nominated her. And that was kind of one of the reasons too. Why some of the factions in CCM were upset.
No, opozicijo sva zdaj ves čas pomalo omenjala, ampak kdo sta sploh ta dva kandidata, ki so jima prepovedali kandidaturo?
Ja, se pravi, glavni dve opozicijski stranki sta Chadema in pa Zavezništvo za spremembe in transparentnost. Zdaj, Chadema, ki se ves čas omenja kot glavna opozicija, je v bistvu konzervativna in pa desno-sredinska stranka, ki je nastala leta 1992 po ukinitvi prepovedi delovanja strankam, ki niso CCM, se pravi, ki niso stranka revolucije. Na prvih dveh splošnih volitvah ni imela predsedniškega kandidata in je osvojila po 4 in pa po 5 sedežev v parlamentu. No in leta 2005 je tudi prvič predstavila kandidata za predsedniške volitve in je njihovim kandidatom podpora ves čas naraščala in je tako recimo na predsedniških volitvah leta 2015 njihov kandidat Edward Lovasa prejel okoli 40% glasov. No, septembra lani je potem tanzanijska policija aretirala takratnega predsednika stranke Freemana Mboweja in pa tudi Tunduja Lisuja, ki je bil takrat še podpredsednik stranke. In v bistvu Tundu Lisu se je potem nekako uveljavil kot glavno ime stranke. Je pa on tudi preživel poskus atentata, ko je leta 2017 zapuščal parlament. So je pač v bistvu skupina neznancev nanj ga 16-krat streljala, v bistvu 16-krat ga zadela in potem je vseeno preživel, ampak je potem zapustil državo in se preselil v Belgijo, v kateri in bistvu pač v Belgiji je potem okreval po poškodbami in je tam živel nekaj časa in se vrnil za predsedniške volitve leta 2020, ampak v bistvu takrat samo za kratek čas in se šele zares vrne v državo leta 2023. No, v začetku leta je Chadema vodila kampanjo za reforme volitev, zaradi česar je bil potem tudi obtožen veleizdaje in kasneje se pravi Chadema tudi ni želela podpisati etičnega kodeksa volitev in je zato volilna komisija prepovedala kandidature na vseh volitvah do leta 2030. Več o Lisu pa pove sogovornik.
Tundu Lisu has really kind of been, you could say, a thorn in the side of the ruling party. So even back in the 1990s, he was a lawyer kind of defending the rights of small-scale miners. And he ran into a lot of conflicts with the ruling party over that. 2017, there was an assassination attempt on him, and a lot of people kind of suspect the government might have been involved. So, yeah, he came back to Tanzania and was contested for to be the head of Chadema and won that internal party contest. And Chadema was demanding that constitutional reforms needed to be made so that you could have kind of a more free and fair elections. And there's been these kind of calls and efforts for constitutional changes, you know, going on throughout the century. But nothing's really happened. There haven't been any fundamental changes. And so basically he was saying, look, without changing the constitution, you can't have free and fair elections. And then they refused to sign this election code of conduct and called for a boycott. And then I think he was arrested and charged with treason.
Kaj pa je druga opozicijska stranka?
Ja, torej glavni kandidat za vezništva je bil Luhaga Mpina, ki mu je volilna komisija kandidaturo prepovedala, ker njegova stranka ni upoštevala postopkov za imenovanje kandidatov. Ta stranka je zrasla iz stranke Državljanska združena fronta, ki je bila zelo močna predvsem na Zanzibarju, ampak je kasneje v bistvu skozi leta se oslabila in je veliko njenih članov prestopilo v zavezništvo.
This party kind of grew out of a political party that was called CUF, Civic United Front. And the Civic United Front had a really strong base in Zanzibar. But according to electoral rules, you can't have regional ethnic religious parties, right? So it also kind of formed a coalition with some people on the mainland. And it was a party that was particularly strong in Zanzibar and kind of had some strong presence in the coastal areas and kind of particularly more maybe strength with Muslim voters. And so there was then this kind of controversy within CUF over who should be the leader, and it broke apart. And so in order for kind of this constituency that was, it was kind of CUF strength in kind of the coastal areas in Zanzibar, they kind of had to form or join a new party. So most of CUF moved into ACT Mzalendo, and then CUF, the original CUF kind of just has died or you know, been marginalized. It's much weaker than what it was. And so I think with the disqualification of the ACT Mzalendo candidate, it's more just removing any kind of possible person that could attract maybe a protest vote or an anti-CCM vote.
Torej, ta stranka je močna predvsem na Zanzibarju. Kakšen je sploh uradni položaj tega otočja?
Ja, se pravi, Zanzibar je polavtonomna regija, ki je sestavljena iz dveh velikih otokov in pa več manjših. In medtem, ko je v celotni Tanzaniji več kot 60% prebivalcev kristjanov, je na teh otokih, na katerih živi približno 2 milijona ljudi, prebivalstvo večinsko muslimansko. In Zanzibar si je neodvisnost priboril leta 1963, se pravi dve leti kasneje kot celinska Tanzanija, in je po samosvojitvi postal ustavna monarhija, ki je imela sultana na čelu. Ampak že naslednje leto je temu sledila revolucija, po kateri se je Zanzibar pridružil Tanzaniji in je tako nastala Združena republika Tanzanija, kot je to še danes. No in več o položaju tega otočja pove Heilman.
You know, Zanzibar was the commercial center. And it had trading links going all through kind of East Africa and Central Africa. But it was very prosperous. And then when you had Germany take over the mainland and Britain take over Zanzibar, it kind of cut those economic links. And so you had these two places then were kind of administered separately. Then World War One, the British take over mainland Tanzania, but you still had two separate administrations. And then at independence, you had the Zanzibar Revolution, lower class Zanzibaris overthrowing kind of what was seen as an Arab-oriented aristocracy and kind of wealthy class. And then the two countries combined, right? So Zanzibar was like a sovereign independent country after colonialism for just a few months. So Zanzibar has a lot of autonomy in terms of its own government. And if you look at the mainland, it's a very centralized, right? So you have president, and then you have the president is appointing like these regional commissioners and district commissioners. So you don't have like these local governments. And whereas Zanzibar has its own president and vice president and parliament. And that's where Hassan is from.
Torej, volitve so potekale tudi na otočju.
Ja, so, ja. Se pravi, kot polavtonomna regija ima tudi Zanzibar v bistvu svojo vlado in pa predsednika. In vlado, ki ima uradno ime revolucionarna vlada Zanzibarja, sestavlja revolucionarni svet, ki je svetovalno telo, in pa 76 članske predstavniške dom. No, volitve za predsednika regije so torej potekale tudi v sredo in na njih je zmagal predstavnik vladajoče stranke revolucije, na drugem mestu pa je končal kandidat za Zavezništva za spremembe in pa transparentnost, ki je prejel okoli 23%. Sogovornik v bistvu na to doda oziroma komentira, da je bil volilni izid na Zanzibarju v preteklosti vedno tesen in da je tokratna razlika med obema kandidatoma zato zelo presenetljiva.
There you've always had this really intense political competition between kind of two groups. One that kind of maybe is more closely identified with the mainland, and one maybe that is more closely identified maybe with the Arab or Zanzibari identity. But you've had kind of these two equally matched groups, you know, contesting for political power in the islands. And so Zanzibar's always had these really, really close elections since 1995. And there's always credible, or there's always accusations that, you know, they've been manipulated, right, that CCM wins. And even at the time, like in the mainland, where you weren't seeing too much competition being offered by opposition parties, you know, in Zanzibar, elections were really, really close. So you kind of have that dynamic. My sense, I haven't seen like complete results. But it looks like CCM has won a majority in the legislature, and they took the Zanzibar presidency by surprisingly large margins. And so the main opposition party is this ACT Mzalendo, and they're calling, you know, that the elections were illegitimate and fraudulent.
Okay, če sam zaključek, bi se samo povzamemo, se pravi, protesti so se začeli na dan volitev za neko željo nasprotovati v bistvu sistemu, ki zatira politične nasprotnike in pa nekako zatira v bistvu vse glasove kritične do oblasti. In ravno danes je tanzanijsko državno tožilstvo 98 ljudi, ki je sodelovali v protestih, obtožilo vele izdaje zaradi oviranja volitev, tako da v bistvu nekak sklenjen ironični krog, I guess.
Kultivirala sva premica in tim. Ailo buku nachagua unga kilo mchele nusu na sasa mfumuko wa bei ni zaidi ya mara tatu unga kilo buku mbili na mchele ni buku tatu hapa tundo namkumbuka lesemaga tamkumbuka okay tuachane na hilo kuna kasumba imezuka sipendi unafiki na chao.